Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. We begin our program today with the latest on health and healing. We're going to be talking about olive oil, wild blueberries, frequent socializing, exercise, L-citrulline, and too much salt. All of these will impact the quality of our life, prevent or cause disease, shorten or lengthen our lifespan. All of this comes from the peer-reviewed literature and respected institutions. For example, our first study comes from Auburn University. Researchers find olive oil improves brain health, memory, especially in mild cognitive impairment. So the takeaway message is simple, and this was published in the peer-reviewed journal Nutrients. If you have every day, and I suggest 4 tablespoons throughout the day of organic, it's a darker green, extra virgin olive oil. It can have positive effects on your brain, your memory. And this is what they found in their University's Harrison College of Pharmacy. And it was published. So that means that the olive oil impacts the health and improves brain blood control. It's so good on so many levels for your heart, for building your immune system, and now for helping your brain. And it helps the brain biomarkers as well. It's an anti-inflammatory. But so too are wild blueberries. University of Maine, metabolic syndrome, and we know that already is a constellation of unhealthy conditions, currently affecting almost 37% of the entire population, adult population of the United States. And most doctors will only look at drugs. That's it. Yet they will rarely, if ever, hear of a conventionally trained healthcare provider talk about how a good diet, especially the consumption of wild blueberries, offers the power to heal. This syndrome is defined by the American Heart Association as the presence of 3 or more factors that include obesity, high blood pressure, high blood sugar, high cholesterol, chronic inflammation, excess fats in the blood, insulin resistance, and increased risk of blood clot. Now, what happens when you're overweight? All of those occur. What happens when you're not just overweight, you're obese? You really shorten your lifespan. It is inevitable that you're going to die sooner. So what do we do about it? Change any of this? Absolutely not. Why would anyone think of doing something that common sense and easy? No, we just want people to be able to feel good about being overweight. Wow. This is part of the woke culture, and it is deadly. So what you shouldn't do is encourage people to stay the way they are. You should encourage them and support them to make healthier choices. This was published in Applied Physiology, Nutrition, and Metabolism. And the researchers found that wild blueberry consumption lowers blood pressure, reduces oxidative stress, therefore improving or preventing conditions such as metabolic syndrome, which includes heart disease, diabetes, and stroke. To conduct the study, the team used a group of obese rats and a control of lean rats, place them on either wild blueberry enriched diet or a standard diet for 8 weeks. The scientists found that the blueberry diet regulated and improved the balance between relaxation and constriction of the rat's vascular walls, improved blood flow, improved blood pressure. So just one more reason to make the change. Now, all morning I was filming Utrice Lead, who is acting as a canary in the coal mine. Just 4 weeks ago, she was literally homeless, and she's given me permission to share this information because she'd had a long battle with her landlord to keep her apartment. She lost, and so at least in a transition in life, she has a place to stay. What she didn't tell me was that she had 5 diseases. Any one of those diseases could cause death at any second, not the least of which being morbidly obese, 128 pounds overweight, and no exercise and sedentary. You wouldn't have recognized her had you saw her. Today, you would very much recognize her. She's doing a radio program. She can breathe. She couldn't when she came. Couldn't breathe. And if you think it's easy to find a good qualified doctor overnight to help with these life-ending conditions, think again. The average wait time to see a oncologist to deal with stage 4 lung cancer, where they sent her home, said nothing could be done, put your life in order. The things you don't think about, like your will, your possessions, what you want to have, saying goodbye to the people who are important in your life. And when you're hit with that, you think, whoa, you mean it's over? Yes. According to them, it's over. And then your whole energy just goes down because you're thinking of the people you'll never see again, the smiles you'll never encourage or enjoy. All the things that gave you pleasure are in the rear view mirror. You start thinking about, well, I've got to go buy my coffin. I have to get a place to be buried. You know, do I want to be cremated or not? All these things now preoccupy a person's time. I know I've talked with hundreds and even thousands of people who were at death's door or approaching it. And then we have all those other people who are not quite there yet because there's longevity in their family, but they have dementia. So their heart might be all right. They may not be overweight. And I just got a call this morning from someone who says, I don't know what the heck to do. I'm getting sick. I don't recognize myself when I look in the mirror. And the doctor said yesterday, even though your mom cannot be left alone, because she'll walk out and not know where she's at, she's got advanced dementia. Her sister lived to be 100 and she's 93. She's got at least another 10 years of living. And you're thinking, I've just taken care of her the last 10 years. I've given away my own life to protect hers. I'm not going to make it. And frequently that's the case. And so I'm going to be doing a special webinar in the next 3 months. And I'm certainly going to do it at the retreat coming up of how we can help those in our lives, friends or family, who unfortunately have not made all the right choices, are now with dementia or Alzheimer's, and how not to lose our life, but still be able to help them with theirs. And that is something that very few people learn that lesson. They burn up and they end up with conditions including chronic stress. So in any case, the takeaway message is that when you're overweight and you're not eating right, you speed up the entire death process substantially. But when you have a healthy diet, including eating wild blueberries, you could end up helping yourself in that respect. In fact, this says eating wild blueberries could help save a stunning 37% of the adult population from metabolic syndrome. Well, that's a big deal. You're talking about about 110 million Americans whose lives would otherwise be put at risk. You can save them. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal Applied Physiology, Nutrition, and Metabolism. Now, it's just not the wild blueberry. That's a unique and super food. You can generally only buy them frozen, organic frozen, and that's fine. And almost always the wild blueberries are not sprayed because they're wild and you harvest them once a year. But they found that when people can consume wild blueberries, you're going to have a difference in the blood flow throughout your body. It'll be thinner. It'll be filled with more oxygen. It'll be healthier. It can help lower your blood pressure and improve blood flow. That's a big deal, because when you eat the average American diet and you're overweight, and I've done this, I've actually in the laboratory, in clinical experience, I've done it, so it's not theoretical for me. Took a group of people, volunteers from my audience, and over a period of a week, we had them go out and eat one unhealthy meal. From one single unhealthy meal, you take the blood before, you have them eat the meal, and an hour later you take the blood again, and you start to see the blood went from thin and no aggregation, no clumping together, to suddenly just streaks of fat throughout the blood. And that's where those streaks of fat act like a magnet, and suddenly you have all these other blood cells attached to it, and that can form a clot. And yet we never talk about how to prevent disease. We just don't. Oh yes, we did at one time. Some authorities who had nothing to lose said, get some sunlight and everything else in moderation. That was her advice. That's about the dumbest information, non-scientific information, in the history of science. No, it's a whole lot more than that. I can show you a lot of people who got all the sunlight, ended up like prunes, prematurely aging, skin cancer on top of that, and it didn't stop any of their other things. And we won't tell people, not the Surgeon General, no one's going to tell people to stop anything if a corporation makes money from it. You always know who the enemy is in our society. It's the person you cannot criticize, them, their corporation, or their products. And so we assume that since nobody criticizes these sugar-coated cereals, they must be good for us. Yeah, they're not. But wild blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, boysenberries, cranberries, mulberries, they are good for us. If you can't get them fresh, get them frozen. Can't get them frozen, get them as concentrates. And then refrigerate the concentrate and they'll last a long time. Why? Because they're rich in what are called antho, A-N-T-H-O, cyanidins, C-Y-A-N-I-N-S, and flavonoids, F-L-O-F-L-A-V-O-N-O-I-D-S, flavonoids. And then you have what are called bioflavonoids. And they're produced by plants to protect the plant from injury, harsh temperatures, and insects. And blueberries are particularly rich in antioxidants. And those antioxidants scavenge your blood and neutralize the damaging free radicals that cause oxidative stress and degenerative diseases. This was published in the British Journal of Nutrition. And they're telling about wild blueberry. This was a powder they used. And boy, it made a difference within an hour. From the Shenzhi Medical University in China, an article published in the Journal of Epidemiology and Community Health, frequent socializing is linked to a longer lifespan, especially if you're older. And older means, from my perspective, over the age of 35. So frequent socializing may extend the lifespan, and that's what this study shows of 28,000 Chinese people. Socializing nearly every day seemed to be the most beneficial for a long life. So let's, if we have something that prevents our socializing, shyness, loneliness, we don't have the friends we once have, we're retired, whatever it may be, then look at all the ways you can socialize without getting caught up in schemes and scammers and predators on the internet. I wouldn't use the internet as a guide. But almost in every town in the United States, there are groups of people who get together and share something. It might be hobbies. It might be art. And by the way, for Pacifica Stations and WBAI, where I've been on the air for 46 years, if you need to raise some funds, bring back the old art shows that used to do. They were magnificent. First of all, it was a forum for a lot of people who couldn't make it into the galleries, but made it off the street into this expo once a year. There were hundreds of exhibits, and the station made tens of thousands of dollars from it. And it was a win-win. The artists won, the people going there. I used to go all the time, bought stuff there. And we haven't done that in years. Just suggesting something. In any case, there's different groups who have a theme. The theme brings people together. So why don't you start a group, start small, with a theme? You know, how to shop for the healthiest foods and then how to prepare those foods, how to grow mushrooms, especially since the medicinal value of mushrooms are so high, like shiitake and maitake, shiitake, lion's mane. These are oyster, they're all good. Some have more anti-cancer properties than others, but they're all good for your immune system. So what if you showed people how to get the mushroom starter kit? They're inexpensive. And then how to grow them, where to grow them, on what medium to grow them, what's the temperature, the darkness, lightness, the room, etc. That's fun. And you get people at least have something in common, how to do hydroponics. Yeah. There's no shortage of good idea, and there's certainly no shortage of wonderful human beings in our beautiful country who would love to spend a little more time socializing rather than by themselves. All right, that's how you also make new friends. This goes back to 1975, and it was a weekend, and every weekend, many of you know, because tens of thousands came up. On Sundays, whole families come up. It was an open Sunday. You come up and you have lunch, and then we would have workshops, And then you'd have dinner, and then we would drive back. And while driving back, we'd drive through Goshen, New York, and I had a black dirt farm. And I would give people big black garbage bags and say, pick as much as you want, you know, one garbage bag. And this, you could hold 30 to 40 pounds of food. And people, I remember there was this woman, a little tiny, sprightly woman, and she was pulling on this bag, and I said, ask someone to pick it up for you. You're going to strain your back. She said, well, I've never been in a situation where I could go out and pick all the food I wanted. I said, well, you've kind of overdone it. That bag weighs about as much as you. So anyhow, at the Friday and Saturday part of the retreat upstate at the Fertiller Farm, we had wonderful workshops, and most of the people were young. I'm in my 20s, early 20s. Most of the people were. And so we go out for a run in the morning through the mountains, come back, have wonderful big breakfast laid out, about 10 different courses you could select from, then yoga and meditation classes, campfire singing at night, all of us singing around a campfire. It was just perfect. And a person came over to me, a guy came over, and he says, how much longer are you going to be doing this stuff? I said, as long as I'm here. Why not? And he said, because this is for a person like myself, and I'm rather shy, he said, and I have a hard time meeting people. I don't really have any male or female friends. He was about 25, and he said, so, but up here, everyone's so friendly. They're so open. Everybody's laughing and having a good time. And he said, my hope is that I find some people to start a friendship with. And he did. And some people came just to be volunteering on staff because it was just so much fun. So what happens when that passage in life stops? Well, we have to create another passage. And we can remember that and think, wow, that was fun. You know, all the people who were in that with you. I remember stopping there on my way up the last time 3 years ago, just as COVID was happening. I did my last lecture up in Woodstock and showed a premiere of a film up there. It was packed. My farm was only in High Falls, in Stone Ridge, maybe 12 minutes from Woodstock. In any case, I stopped there. Wow. When you grow older and you come back to something, everything looks different. Everything was the same, except there was no energy there. And then you realize, wow, it's the people that make a place special, the energy they bring. If they bring joy and happiness and exploration and openness and creativity, what a wonderful environment that is. And during the 1970s, almost every place you went in America, every place in the world, I remember going to Finhorn in Scotland, I remember going to all the other great places that people were going to around the United States, you had vitality, you had energy, you had a sense of anything is possible. Now, we don't have that so much. The older people get, my experience is, the less they're willing to do, the less risk they're willing to take, the more their security is important rather than doing something. Why should I do that, Gary? Why should I travel there? I've done that, been there, done that. As if, okay, you've done one thing, there are 10 million other things you haven't done. Yeah, I'm going to watch television. I'm going to go on the internet. Let's try to break free of so much of our conditioned responses. Let's stop being predictable. I make sure that when I start this radio show every day, I'm going to share stuff that you do not know. You do not know it. And be honest, you didn't know about the wild blueberries, or you didn't know about the things that can help bring down. Like, I'm sure that you felt you understood as common sense that frequent socializing with the right people, there is, again, the right people at the right time, they become your support system. And that feels good. You look forward to that. That anticipation is positive. And by the way, if you think this is not important, here's what the outcome of this study said. Mind you, this is a major study, 28,563 participants. Quote, a threshold effect was evident. Only socializing nearly every day was associated with significantly longer survival in this group among time to death was delayed by 204%. I repeat, listen to what I'm saying. Time of death was delayed by 204%. Wow. Yeah, senior citizens, so what? And then from Texas A&M University, Exercise has a direct role in fighting breast cancer. Before I could get board-certified physicians to help Nutrice Lee with all of her many life-ending conditions, you can't just walk into a doctor's office here and say, can you treat this person? Every single oncologist, neurologist, cardiologist, the gastroenterologist, spinal cord experts, all of them were reached out to because there was no time. And all of them said, oh, in 2 months there'll be this person's not going to be alive in 2 months in all probability. Lucky to be alive. If you saw the blood pressure and blood sugar, you'd say, wow. And yet, you have to do something in the interim. You can't just sit there and wait. So began an assertive program. Exercise was top of it. What is the one thing we do less of as we get older? Exercise. What do we do more of that we shouldn't, that kills us? Sedentary. All the things that are wrong, blood pools in your legs, you can get intermittent claudication, you get blood clots, you get thrombosis. You've got to exercise. You've got to get up. You've got to walk. If you've got cancer, even though you're in pain and you feel you can't move a single foot, you've got to. You've got to get oxygenation into the body. Hyperbaric oxygen, that's ideal. Oxygen therapy is good, but exercise is what we can do. If you're overweight, then walk back and forth in a swimming pool. The buoyancy of the water will help take the pressure off your musculature so that you're able to get from one end of the pool to the other back and forth and just keep timing yourself. How long can you go? Can you go longer today than yesterday? All of this is important. So this study says from Texas A&M, published in Frontiers in Physiology, that you've got to exercise because they found a direct link between muscle contraction and a reduction in breast cancer. I repeat this for all the men and women in this audience. They have now found a direct link between muscle contraction and a reduction in breast cancer. So, and that muscle contraction is able to suppress the signaling within breast cancer cells, which reduce tumor growth and can even kill the cancerous cells. That's very important. So this can save people's lives, all right? Something that simple. And they recommend 30 minutes a day of moderate intensity exercise for at least 5 days a week. Brisk walking, dancing, biking would all be beneficial. And finally, a nutrient is called citrulline, citrulline, may enhance the time trial performance of cyclists. And this is a study out of Japan at two universities, and it's an amino acid, and it reduces the time, so it means that you're going to be able to exercise longer with less fatigue because it creates nitric oxide, NO. And the metabolism regulation. See, citrulline is converted to L-arginine in the body to support L-arginine and nitric oxide levels. It increases production of nitric oxide, and that promotes vascular dilation, meaning opening up your arteries and allowing the oxygen and the blood circulation throughout your body, and less likelihood of having a stroke or heart attack. And new data published in the Journal of the International Society of Sports Nutrition indicate that daily L-citrulline intake for 7 days boosted L-citrulline and L-arginine levels and enhanced performance in time trials. Just one more thing that allows us to eat, allows us to perform better. And by the way, the American Chemical Society has an article in the ACS, that's American Chemical Society Journal of Agriculture and Food Chemistry, that too much salt could contribute to liver damage. And we knew too much sugar does, especially fructose, and we knew too much fat does, but now the salt not only damages your kidneys and creates hypertension, high blood pressure, yes, but it also, we're eating sometimes 6 to 1,000% more salt in a day than what our body can use. We only need about 800 milligrams in one meal. In one item, French fries, you can get 3,000 milligrams of sodium. So we've just been doing it all wrong, And that's one of the reasons we're the sickest nation per population in the world. And we're getting worse, not better. That's the latest on health and healing. We're 25 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break and come back with the rest of our program. But just keep in mind, people want quality information today. They want to know that the information they're getting is from someone who is honest, who will tell you the truth, whether you want to hear the truth or not, and is not biased. And all of our hosts are fitting in because they have a long lifetime record of being on the right side of issues, helping the people against the profiteering of special interest groups. So, PRN.live. And for more information, GaryNall.com. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. I'd listen to this radio program just for the music. I select all the music myself. Now, hopefully you enjoy the music, but it brings back memories. And by the way, a lot of those memories involved about 80,000 members of my radio audience who would come to these free dance parties. I did a dance party with the introduction of a new book, and whatever the venue would hold, 5,000, 6,000, older people came early, and then they would come and dance and go home. Families came with bringing their children and dance, and there was no smoking, alcohol, or drugs. It was just very upbeat. And then the younger people come later and stay later. And I had a lot of people from the audience do little movies, their own home movies, and that was fine. And they've sent them over, and we have about 50 of them. Now I'm going to add them all together and make just one nonstop reel of from 1985, I did the first, right up until 3 years ago when I did the last. And I intend to do another one next time I'm back in New York in another month. And by the way, we're working, we're in post-production for about 4 months. It's extremely complicated, this documentary I'm doing, because I'm not having one point of focus. I'm going after the entire field in a particular way, in its entire history. And I filmed some of the greatest scholars, minds, ethicists, physicians in the world in this film. This is possibly going to be the most powerful film I've done. And it's going to be a long one. As of this morning, Valerie said it's about 3 hours, and we still have more B-roll to put in. I'm hopeful to get up to New York in the next 4 weeks to premiere it. If not, then I'll premiere it for those who come to the retreat in May and then come to the city after that in Woodstock and other places and do it a fundraiser for WBAI. But it's powerful. In the interim, I'll be sending you within the next week, I'll be posting the video of Eutrice's life, because she said, look, if I die and I could die tomorrow, remember, she's lost 30 pounds in 2 weeks, but she still has 100 pounds more to go. And at that weight, you could have a stroke at any time. So she said, I want to get my story out, my life, the lessons I've learned and the lesson I should have learned and didn't learn to put me in this situation of coming within one heartbeat of death. So she's very appreciative of every day she has. And mind you, we've had to do this without the oncologist and everyone else because can't get in to see him. But we did get all the MRIs. And last night, she sat with a physician who went over her MRIs. And that was really interesting. And thank goodness he agreed to be filmed because he was holding the before and the current ones. And I'm not going to say any more. You can see the film when it comes out, probably about 45 minutes. It's just about her. I'm not in it. And talking about her journey to save her life. When she woke up and finally realized she was hanging off the cliff with one finger and decided she still wanted to live. And that you had to have the perception change of wanting to live or you can't. Anyhow, that's going to be very powerful. I mean, very powerful. So that's coming at you within the next week. Because my cinematographer, who's been my cinematographer 35 years, Roland Marconi, you look at all my films, you'll see his name and Val's name. And we hopefully get this posted next week. with the hope that she will survive. But remember, she came at the 59th minute of the 12th hour in the 59th second of her life. So whatever she's learned, whatever she's done, whatever she's changed, it can help everyone in the audience. Now, we have some things to share with you, some clips, and I'd like your input. We have the first clip up as someone who is, he's a wise person. And he's Neil Oliver. He's Scottish. Now, here's what you may not be aware of, because it really wasn't covered in to any degree in the United States media. The Anthony Fauci of Great Britain was a person who controlled virtually their entire approach to the pandemic. He was the Minister of Health. It turns out he was lying. And how do we know he's lying? Because he hired a very respected journalist to go through over 100,000 of his emails, thinking that he could defend himself and his policies from the attacks that are going to occur, not only there, but all over the world when we got it all wrong and the people knew it was wrong. Shouldn't they be held accountable for crimes against humanity, including the journalists? And the answer is yes, they should. But he didn't realize this journalist started seeing all these lies and said, I got to write about this. So she sent out through a newspaper, I think it was the Telegraph, and they're coming out. These are like the Pentagon Papers of COVID. And in there, you actually see him stating, we have to scare people with this new variant. There was no evidence to scare anyone, but he wanted to keep it alive so they wouldn't change anything getting their vaccines, including children. So that's what Neil Oliver is talking about here. And so you might not otherwise recognize the names, but this is important because if it happened there, it's going to happen with Fauci here. Let's hear Neil Oliver talk about
the so-called rev.
They lied to and manipulated us, and it's still happening. We'll go for about 10 minutes.
It's the so-called revelations that are coming out in the news, open brackets, the news, close brackets, because I don't really count most of the news as news anymore and haven't for years. But revelations about what the government and their little wizards were up to with us during the last 3 years. And for me, it has crystallised in a question, these so-called revelations being swirling around us now like a swarm of black biting flies. Where is the outrage? Where is the outrage from the people? Why aren't people out on the streets laying siege to Parliament, demanding the removal from office of those who deliberately set out to terrify the population of this country into doing what the government wanted us to do? Where is the outrage? The other question is, what is it going to take before enough people accept that we were lied to and we were deliberately manipulated by politicians and their officials? I think the answer to that question is that the necessary reckoning cannot and will not come until more people admit to themselves that they were had, that they were duped, and they fell for it. Trust me, I had to do that. All of my life, I had broadly trusted the government of the day to have my best interests at heart. And that was regardless of whether they were Conservative or Labour or Liberal or monster-raving loony. I just gave them the benefit of the doubt and assumed that underlying the political ideologies, there was a determination to look out for me and mine. And when, 3 years ago now, the scales fell from my eyes and I realised that the opposite was true, it was embarrassing. It was humiliating. I realised, I had to go through the realisation that I had been a gullible, unquestioning fool. I make no bones about it, I was. And it makes me cringe, and it still makes me blush now when I think about how blind I was for the whole of my adult life up until 2020. But it has to be done. It has to be done. And the longer anyone goes without ripping off that filthy old band-aid, the sorer it's going to be in the end. if and when it falls off by itself. And while more and more people are noticing the stories circulating now about deliberate plans to scare the pants off people, that's the words that Matt Hancock used himself, to scare the pants off people until they complied, make no mistake that until that moment, none of this is over, and far from it. The mainstream media, or the bulk thereof, are tending to suggest we're at the point where the wrongs are past, the wrongs are exposed, and that the time has come for, I don't know, judgment. But the awful truth is that it's all still happening. The wrongdoing is not in the past tense. It's still in the present tense. The charlatans and collaborators of yesterday are trying to reinvent themselves as messengers of the truth. But the crimes in question are nowhere near being dealt with. There's talk about how people like us were censored and ridiculed, as though that's stopped. Although that's behind us now. It absolutely hasn't stopped. It's absolutely still going on right now. We still cannot freely talk about the harms done. The horror show of the care homes and the end-of-life care administered to the people in the care homes instead of treatment for a respiratory virus were still shouted down for asking questions that remain to be asked, far less answered. And the worst of the wrongdoing, which is the censorship and the silencing, is still going on. I mean, not to put too fine a point on it, I have to be very careful what words I use right now, which drug brand names I do and do not mention, which respiratory infections I describe by name, you know, for fear of the resultant content being deemed unfit for broadcast. That's still the situation in which people like me are operating. The war goes on against the worst of all of it, and that is a fact. Beware distraction, as always. I note today that the government wants everyone excited about the latest promises to tackle illegal immigration in the Channel, the English Channel. Well, anyone with an ounce of awareness knows that those promises must hold no water whatsoever. The UK is still bound by the European Court of Human Rights. Brexit or no Brexit, that's a fact. All of that will continue to bind the hands of politicians making airy promises about getting on top of that situation. It's only out there, that headline is only out there today. Home Secretary Suella Braverman has only been, you know, thrust out in front of the cameras again. Trust me, as a temporary distraction from the so-called revelations about government psyops. It's no coincidence that Rishi Sunak and the rest are proclaiming that they're going to stop the illegal immigration, because they want to make everybody look away from what's coming out about Matt Hancock and the rest, and fret for a while about something else, you know, while they rearrange those deck chairs. What we have had so far, this week of so-called revelations, barely touches the hem of revelations, as far as I'm concerned. Those of us awake and paying attention have known for years, that the government was playing mind games. Those narcissistic fantasists in Parliament, and that's on both sides of the House. That's Conservative, Labour, Liberals, all of them, the SNP, indulging their onanism by convincing themselves that they could treat 60-odd million people like sheep. We're still waiting. We are still waiting for the real questions to be asked about the respiratory infection in question, the one that attracts the attention of the censor bots. We're still waiting for the questions about the safety or not of the experimental gene therapies that were pushed, all but mandated, on millions of people of all ages. And if so many more people now know they were lied to, made guinea pigs for a nationwide psyop to further government objectives in relation to a respiratory infection, it's still safest not to mention on air. Why for one minute would those same people trust what those same characters in power are saying about Ukraine and Russia, about the Nord Stream pipeline, about the climate and alleged human impact on it? Indeed, why would you trust those characters to tell you the truth about anything at all? Why? Here's the thing. The UK Parliament and the Scottish Parliament and the Welsh Parliament, they're stuffed full of MPs of all stripes, from all parties, in government and in opposition, who absolutely conspired to make all of this happen. They worked with each other as one blob to make all of this happen. They didn't do it once, they didn't do it twice, they did it over and over again. They demanded collectively earlier and harsher and longer lockdowns. They voted through ruinous furlough while countless of the self-employed and others had their livelihoods knowingly destroyed. All of it, harms to mental and physical health, the damage to children, all of it. And all the while people out here in the real world were being destroyed, those politicians knew it was all based on lies. It was lies and fear porn and propaganda shaped to, quote, scare the pants off the people. For me, this does not even begin to be over until every politician who voted for lockdown and the rest, who stood by or cheered on the demands to force experimental gene therapies on millions of people, who watched their constituents deliberately terrified to the point of destruction, committing suicide or unable to be with loved ones while they died, this does not even begin to be over until every last one of those knowingly complicit politicians, Sunak, Hunt, Gove, Johnson, Starmer and the rest, are out of office and barred from ever being in positions of authority again. Here's another...
Okay, good for Neil Oliver. We should be doing the same thing. When people have lied repeatedly, and not just with minor consequences, with 1 million dead in the United States, 7 million dead worldwide, that's genocide. Especially when we know that things that we were warned about. In fact, this radio program, remember, go back 3 years, remember I said, my biggest concern is people in America, 130 million, have some form of immune incompetence or autoimmune condition. So you're going to give a spike protein, you're going to give a vaccine, which is going to cause the immune system to hyperreact to the spike protein. What do you think that's going to do to people who are excluded from the trials because they had cancer or autoimmune conditions? This makes no sense whatsoever. Now, the evidence is now coming out, lots of evidence, showing, in fact, there's a brand new study out just, I'm going to play it tomorrow, showing that the consequences that upwards of 20% of all the people who got the vaccine who had autoimmune conditions could end up with a hyper-autoimmune condition, meaning their whole immune system simply collapses. So isn't it time that you set aside whether you're blue or red on a spectrum and simply say, was I given the truth? Was the truth there and hidden? The answer is the truth's been there from the beginning and it was hidden. When they didn't allow any doctor to use existing protocols to save lives, that's a crime against humanity. That was all intentional. Just want to share that with you. All right? So, that said, I'm going to take you to another thing that's happening right now, and it seems like nobody seems to care. You will, when it's implemented, and it is being implemented. This is Catherine Austin Fitz being interviewed by Tucker Carlson over the whole idea of taking over your bank accounts, digitizing all currencies. You can't trade in gold, silver, coins, or dollar bills. They will control every dollar, how you spend it, where you spend it, how much you're allowed to spend. And if they don't like you, did you see what Trudeau did to every single one of the truckers? They confiscated their bank accounts. Some people couldn't buy food. Even the restaurant, the coffee shop that was offering free hot coffee to the truckers in Canada, they went after them as well. We've already seen our Justice Department is totally corrupt, top to bottom. Our FBI is corrupt, not just in one area at the top, it's metastasized. Dozens of FBI agents are coming forward now and talking with members of a committee because they have someone that will listen to them. The previous Pelosi and Schumer administration wouldn't listen. You criticize the establishment, it wasn't allowed. So this is what they're talking about, and you should be very concerned and protest this. Let your legislators say no to anything that would digitize currencies.
Cash and make everything digital, and digital currency is central bank digital currency. Obviously, you have no power whatsoever if they don't like what you're doing. They just shut you down and you're impoverished. It just happened in Canada last winter, so we know what the consequences are. We know why they want it. So that couldn't happen, right? Well, we may live to see the day that it does happen. And here's the latest sign that it may be happening. The number of banks and ATM machines in this country are in steep decline. Far fewer than there were just a few years ago. And in some countries like Australia, they're going away at high speed. So this is not something that anyone voted on. This is something that they're just doing, whether you like it or not. So you can say we have cash, but if you can't get cash, then do you really have cash? So where's this going? That's the question we want to assess tonight. And we're going to with Catherine Austin Fitz, who has been monitoring this. She founded the Solari Report. She's also the Assistant Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. And we're happy to have her. Catherine, thanks for coming on. So I think if you put this up to a vote nationally, most people would say, no, you know, I may not use cash, but I'd like to have cash because if there's no cash, then I have no control over my life. But it seems like this could be a way to affect the same outcome without a vote.
So, Tucker, the one of the bedrocks of freedom is freedom to do financial transactions, including privately, or freedom to do where you want to do and wherever you want to do. And unfortunately, as the financial system has become more and more digital, you see more and more not only invasive surveillance, but more and more controls. You referred to Canada, perfect example. And the reality, as the financial system gets more controlling and more invasive, it's a little bit like bringing up a corral around us. And CBDCs, central bank digital currencies, and vaccine passports or digital IDs are sort of the last shutting of the gate. It's hard for many people to imagine the risks here because we're so used to living with financial transaction freedom. And we don't understand that when this gate closes on us, we literally will be sitting in a system where the central banks believe that our assets belong to them and they can dictate where we can spend money and what we can spend money on. The important thing to understand is central bank digital currencies are not currencies. It's a financial transaction control grid, and it gives the ability for the central bankers, and they've said this publicly, the ability to not only set the rules centrally, but enforce the rules centrally. If you don't behave, you can have your money turned off.
You know, you keep hearing people on television say cash is for criminals. Why would you need cash if you're not doing something bad? Why are so few financial journalists pointing out that actually, if cash goes away, so does any power you might have had over your own life?
Well, I find a lot more journalists are beginning to understand and are beginning to not only write about this and talk about this, but do documentaries. We just had a new documentary done here out of the Netherlands called State of Control, which does a great job of explaining the invasive nature of this control grid. I think it's very hard for people who've grown up and enjoyed Western liberty and human liberty to imagine literally that we're going into a system where literally our homes, our cars, our communities become digital concentration camps. So if you've enjoyed liberty, it's very hard to, you know, perceive this iceberg before you hit it. And that's why it's so important, and I commend you for talking about CBDCs, because we need to not let the propaganda persuade us that, one, this is convenient, or two, that we need this, or three, we need to understand the not only the dangers of CBDCs, but the opportunities if we start to reverse financial tyranny. We've seen the financial system engineered using the federal credit to increase inequality and centralize political and economic control, and it's shrinking our wealth and it's shrinking our economy. You know, we have debt growing and central control growing much faster than the GDP. That can be reversed. So the opportunity of rejecting financial tyranny and financial transaction control is so important. And all over the United States, there are great state legislatures working on legislation and passing legislation to protect our right to use cash, increasingly talking about state bullion deposits.
Okay. So again, you've heard it from an expert in the field, Catherine Austin Fitz. Protest. Write your legislator, you do not want the Federal Reserve, the Treasury, and the banking system to control your money. If they control your money, they control your life. Just remember that, because those who cannot find their voice won't be able to find their freedom within the next year or two. It's happening that fast. Now, I'd like for you to have an opportunity to call in and share your points of view on any of the things we discuss. Our talkback number is 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. While you're thinking about what you'd like to say and calling in, I want to offer a new premium to you. And this is an important one. This is really important. It's the Immune Supercharged Special. What is it? And why should you be interested in it? And you're going to save $134.97. It's only going to cost you $109.99. That's a 55% saving. First and foremost, I believe that everything should be functional, intentional, including the nutrients you put in your body. The trouble is, not everyone's able to put all the nutrients that they need in their body. And frequently what they do put in their body is counterproductive, causes inflammation. So I put together a formula, a delicious tasting formula. It's a powder. It's a proprietary blend. I put astragalus, ascorbic acid, orange juice, L-lysine, acerola berries, amala berries, citrus bioflavonoids, turmeric, green tea, olive extract, echinacea, purpurea extract, a whole blend of a bunch of mushrooms, such as organic maitake, organic reishi, organic cordyceps, organic shiitake, turkey tail, lion's mane, and more. All right, they're all in here. Chaga mushrooms. So I got a bunch of mushrooms in here. I have quercetin. I have grapeseed extract. I have rutin. Bacillus subtilis is the probiotic. Zinc. Piperine, selenium. I mean, you don't get better than that. And a delicious ginger lemon natural flavor. So that's the powder. That's called immune stuff. And I don't know anything else out there that even comes close to it. But that's not all. You're also getting the finest high-potency vitamin C that I know of. You're getting the ascorbyl palmitate. You're getting the calcium ascorbate, potassium ascorbate, ascorbic acid, magnesium ascorbate. You're getting selenium selenate. You're getting cranberry extract, bilberry extract, bioflavonoid extract, beet extract, amla and stevia. So you're getting the best of the best. All right? And just one serving of this is 2,241 milligrams. That's three capsules, vegan capsules. You can take one serving, two, or three. But you're getting the best of the best. And on top of all that is the multi-award-winning documentary, Supercharge Your Immune System. We get some of the finest specialists discussing in great depth the immune system, how it works, how we can build it back up again, what depresses it. All right? And you're also getting another documentary called The Biological Aging Challenge. You're getting all these experts in there, plus people showing how they were all put on a immune-enhancing, lifestyle-enhancing protocol. The results were phenomenal. You get to see it in action. I filmed the entire thing over 3 months. So that's one heck of a great package for you. All right? So this is the immune-enhancing package, and you're getting a great deal on it. Call this number. First, you can call the owner of Vitamin Closet or visit him Monday to Saturday, noon to 8. His number is 646-926-5430, 646-926-5430 for Neil. You can order directly online, or you can call one of our salespersons at 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065. And just ask yourself, where else could you spend just $109 or $110 and get that much information and product that can do that many good things to your body? Is your body worth it? You bet it is. But you have to have that awareness. Otherwise, you think, well, and then you go out and you'll spend that $100 on stuff that's not going to do the same thing, that wasn't designed with the intent of being highly functional in your body. But I'll tell you this, your body will say thank you every time you take a scoop of this. Because where are you going to go get all the other things that are in here? You're not. So I've done it for you. Makes it easy. Or those that you love who may not be doing all that they need to do or want to do or would do. So you say, at the very least, I do this in my own family. Just take one scoop in the morning, right? So I had to create a scoop that was really powerful inside their body because I was competing against all the other things they did with abandon. 877-627-5065. That's that. Now, I also want to mention that we are working on two things simultaneously, so let us not confuse them. The one is a health retreat. These are the retreats that are wonderful. They're fun. They're upbeat, lots of laughter. They're joyful. You can relax, detoxify. I deal with the deeper topics of the meaning and purpose of life and trying to help people. I have all original lectures, but I have a whole staff of outstanding contributors in meditation and a lot of energy work with Tai Chi and Qigong and yoga. And we have some new instructors teaching water aerobics and biking and power walking and power lifting for seniors. Yeah. So, and great food and juicing throughout the day and counseling with Luann. So it's one of the most beautiful places in America. And it's 1 or 2 weeks. You can come for 1 or 2 weeks from the 17th to 20 to the end of May, right? Last 2 weeks of May. Here's the number to call if this interests you and you'd like to repurpose your life, possibly de-stress your life, get out and get some fun back into your life. 903-881-7008. Luann, 903-881-7008. Now, that's for the health and nutrition segment, but we also have the anti-aging study that will occur. I'm still working throughout the day, trying to find foundations or other people who will help pay for the blood workup and some parts of this to lessen what it will cost people to come. I don't have any positive feedback yet, but I'm still optimistic. And so we will... You know, you can talk to Luann about that. It'll be in the same place, but different programs, much more disciplined programs. The health and nutrition, you can do as little or as much as you want. You can sleep. You can go out and smell the butterflies. You can be in the butterfly hut with meditation music and waterfalls. The people who are in the anti-aging, it's rigorous, but it's meant to help add years on to your life. And does it work? You bet it does, because we just... are submitting, after a whole lot of scientists gave input on the final results, we've done something that hasn't been done before. We're very proud of this, and it was a whole group effort, and now we're going to do it again, but I'm going to change the protocols this time because I believe we can even add more years onto our life in a shorter period of time. So if you're interested in living a healthy, long life, reversing a lot of damage done throughout your life, learning new lessons, and it's done in silent, that's the anti-aging. Same location, but different program altogether. 903-881-7008. We're out of time, and I'm sorry to those who are trying to get in, but I'll set more time aside tomorrow to take your input and your calls. Right now, it's Utrice Lead, and let me mention that Utrice Lead was not able to go on the air because she was too weak, and... So we're going to, she's now back on the air. She's made major improvement. And that's before she even has a chance to see the oncologist, neurologist, cardiologist, gastroenterologist. And I think they'll be surprised. So if you can help her, because this is what she's doing and it isn't covered by insurance. And some of us have dug deep to help her out. But she needs about another 6 weeks to 8 weeks of help. And so give an effort at Utrice Lead GoFundMe. It's two ways of doing it. You can support Utrecht Lead, and it's gofundme.com/f/support-4-Utrecht-Lead. All right? And I'm sure that as long as you put GoFundMe and Utrecht Lead, Utrecht Lead, Utrecht Lead, you'll find it. And whatever you can do to help her, it's not going to be money coming from me into that. I want to thank my buddy Steve Brown, because we're matching dollars from each of us to help her out with all the stuff that she needs. And the people don't realize when you're doing a real, when you're doing a life-saving effort, and there's still a long road to go and a lot of obstacles, but at least where she would have passed, she's not. She's still with us. And she wanted to share her story. So now over to you, Utrecht Lead.